In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, our age is a non-dogmatic age. Our age is an age in which there are no rules except for one rule. We all know this rule. The rule is that you cannot believe and certainly cannot say with certainty and openly that there are rules. We know that. That's the way our age is like now. Christianity is not like that. Christianity is about emulating Christ. So we must live a moral life in order to be like Christ. Not because of a rule that is imposed from above, but a rule that is imposed from within. See, that's the difference in our following rules. Rules come from within the heart because of the love of God within us, the Holy Spirit abiding within us, teaching us what's right and what's wrong, what a good way to live is and a bad way to live. And there are good ways and bad ways to do just about anything. This epistle today that we will read tomorrow morning in Romans is about rules, but the rules have to come from within the heart. Now, here's a little bit about how to read St. Paul, all right? St. Paul is very complicated. His brother and co-apostle Peter told us that in one of his epistles, that St. Paul's stuff is complicated. There's just no doubt about it. So it's not easy to digest and read. And I would say it's the first thing you should pick up when you want to be edified by the Scripture. It's something that takes a lot of time and effort to learn. Some of the other things in Scripture in the New Testament that are much more accessible, not better or worse, just more accessible to our understanding, would be things like the Gospels and James, the Epistle of James, the Epistles of Peter, the Epistles of John, those especially. But St. Paul, in the beginning of his epistles usually, sets forth a very complicated theological treatise. And then at the end of this treatise, he basically tells us how to live morally, but the idea is that an understanding of that theology should lead you to this morality. By the way, it works the other way too. Living in a moral way leads you to understand theology. So, this is how to read St. Paul. Read the difficult theology with the idea that it will somehow teach you, whether you understand it very well or not, it'll teach you to live morally. And really look for these times when St. Paul gives us really good, explicit, and pastoral guidance. And this is one of those times. Now, this is in the 12th chapter, and at the beginning of the 12th chapter, he gives us the reason why he's going to tell us all this stuff to do and all these rules, and there's plenty of them in this particular selection. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. By the way, there's another way to read St. Paul. When there's a therefore, that means all the stuff that preceded it is really important and is summed up by what he's about to say. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So we are to present our bodies as a reasonable, living sacrifice. Well, the therefore is there because he just talked about how Christ sacrificed himself and how our Lord's, all about our Lord's incarnation. Romans arguably might be the most theologically dense of all the epistles. Perhaps you could say Hebrews is, but it's in the ballpark of being among the most theological of all the epistles. But the end result of this is you must think of yourself as a living sacrifice. And if you think of yourself as a living sacrifice, then you choose. You choose now to think that your life is not your own. You choose to follow the will of God as a slave, as a willing slave That might be an oxymoron in America or in any place in the world where you talk about willing slavery. Slavery is forced servitude in the world. But in Christianity, slavery is giving your will over to God because God is good and because this is the only way of perfection and happiness. So if you think of yourself as a living sacrifice, you say, I don't have rights. I will do what my master tells me. I will sacrifice everything for him in every way. And then we'll skip a little bit to the reading of tomorrow. And he gives us lots of instruction, but it has to be in this context that you're giving yourself as a living sacrifice. And you know, you can only understand this if you do it. Otherwise, it's just empty words. Otherwise, it's just commandments. Otherwise, it's just a bunch of stuff that's hard to do and that doesn't always make a lot of sense because we are wired, unfortunately, to think that when something is difficult, it's bad. When something is painful, it's bad. When something is uncomfortable or inconvenient, it's bad. When actually, the only thing we should care about is if something is the way Christ would have done it, and something that brings us closer to God in our heart with peace, it's good, no matter what else is going on. Whether there's pain or suffering or happiness or dancing or gladness or loss. No matter what. The only criterion is it something God would do? And will it bring us closer to God? That's the only criterion for whether something is good or not. And so he says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. And he goes through some other things. We don't have time to go through them all. But then he sums it up. In other words, all the things that you should do, or that you might have a gift for doing, prophecy, or ministry, or exhortation, or being a ruler, he says, let love be without dissimulation. In other words, let your love be real. Let it be without hypocrisy, without envy, without wanting to be better than someone, without pride, without all these things that get mixed in with love and get misunderstood as love sometimes. Let your love be pure as our Lord's love was pure. Without anything that's fake or any hidden agenda. Then he says, abhor what is evil, cleave to that which is good. That's a rule. But it has to come from out of the heart. If you feel that that's imposed on you from without, as if God had a whip and saying, you must do this, you must do that, you cannot do this, you cannot do that, then you do not understand. These rules are from within the heart. The heart tells us what we should do because God lives in the heart. He gives other rules. Be kindly affectioned to one another with brotherly love and honor preferring one another. And he gives other things about business, about being in tribulations, about giving to people with needs, about blessing those who persecute us. And these are important details, but there's little time to go through them all. But the important thing to understand is why we do this stuff. We do this stuff because God sacrificed himself for us. He became man, and he showed us the way. The only way of life. The only way of happiness. You cannot be happy if you live selfishly. It's impossible. You cannot be happy if you only fulfill your own needs, or your own perceived needs, shall we say. And your own desires. It's not possible. It's only possible to be happy. Remember, the word happy means in Greek is blessed. Makari means blessed. It also means happy. The kind of happiness that comes from having God within the heart. And the peace that we have with God. That happiness is only possible by living a moral way. I think it's a good thing to take as our, shall we say, marching orders. If you want to sum this stuff all up, and he gave lots of details. I haven't gone through them all, but lots of specific details about things you should do and things you shouldn't do. How about this? Let us just Let our love be without dissimulation. Let our love be honest as the Lord. Measure yourself. If your interaction with someone is honest and is as God would interact with them, then it's good. If there's any hidden agenda in you, then your love is tainted with some sort of poison. So measure yourself. I've given you an example before, and I've learned this the hard way. I've learned that there's no such thing as, well, I love that person, but I really just don't like them. No, no. That's not true. If there's something about them that aggravates you, there's something about them that you do not love. That's just the truth. So let our love be without dissimulation. Interact with people, the good, the bad, those who are kind to you, those who are not kind to you, the same. That's what it means. You love everyone identically. Because if you don't love everyone identically, then there are standards that you apply to how much you love people. There are conditions. That's dissimulation. Now, of course, this is quite difficult to do. It's quite easy to be kind to those who are kind to us. It's also quite easy to forgive those that do something that in some way wrongs us, but we know them. We've known them for years. We understand them. We understand maybe their circumstances, their personality, the way they were brought up, and all kinds of things, and we can easily forgive them. But the person we don't understand so well who hurts us, it's very difficult to forgive. And this lack of forgiveness masquerades sometimes as, oh, I just don't want to be around them. I just consider them too loud or too this or too that. When actually it is that there is dissimulation in our love. So if you want to follow all of the rules, every single one of them, just love. Of course, that's what the Lord said when he said what the greatest commandment was, right? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. The second one is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. So if you love God purely, you'll love your neighbor purely. And every neighbor, the good ones and the bad ones, the same. That's what this epistle is telling us. So you can see, I hope you can see, that when St. Paul gives us rules, and he gives us a lot of them. If you take a look at his epistles, you can make a list of 80 things he tells us to do, maybe 200. Stuff we should do, stuff we shouldn't do. When you look at those rules, they're all coming out of giving ourselves as a sacrifice, understanding what the Lord has done for us, and because of love. So let's just try to make our love be without dissimulation. It's a big word. Might be a little bit hard to understand. Basically, it means love as the Lord loves. And measure everything against that. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through his grace and love for mankind, always, now, and ever, and unto the ages of ages.